Is it purposed of God for the battle of the word to be in you? It is. And the weapons we know from the scripture, I think it's in 1 Corinthians chapter 5 or 2 Corinthians chapter 5. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through the pulling down of strongholds through the Holy Ghost, correct? So we're being led of God in a path that's directed to the Lord in his purposes. And we know that the purpose of God is the gathering together of all things in Christ Jesus. So that ingathering or that gathering together, which I think we spoke about with Gary on last Sunday, do you guys remember that? Right? When I was speaking with Gary, I used the word accumulation or accumulated, correct? But the proper term in the scripture is gathering together, which is an accumulation of thought. If I'm allowing the word of God to be my strength, then what is God doing in it? Is it me that's doing it, or is it God that's doing it? It's God doing it. Because of myself, I can do nothing. Right? We know that scripture. In and of myself, I can do nothing. Without Jesus, I can do nothing, which I think is John, the 15th chapter. Everything that the Word of God is doing in me is a work of the Spirit to strengthen me as a son in the inheritance of God. Thus, I think it's in Colossians chapter 3, we set our mind on things above, not on the things of the earth, but where Christ sits on the right hand of the Father. Colossians 3:1, I believe it is. You can go look it up and verify it if you want. These things become the solution when there's a gap in our gathering together. That's why we're talking about it. None of us want to be weak in the spirit. Amen. But we can all testify that we are. And why is that?
Because flesh is weak.
Because we're tempted.
Okay. And what kind of body are we in?
Fleshly.
We're in a fleshly body. And because we're in a fleshly body, then our perception in the natural body is of the natural. But isn't Jesus creating a new body in us?
Yes.
The sonship that we are beginning to share with God, is that the new body? In that new body, is there a new mind?
Yes.
So the Apostle Paul would say it this way: I have the mind of Christ. And isn't that what's being developed in you by the preaching of his word in you? This is the mind of Christ. So if I strengthen the mind of Christ and I stay in the meditations of the mind of Christ, then I'm going to become the Son of God. True or not true?
Yeah, it's true.
Okay, that's awesome, isn't it? So is God failing us?
No.
No.
No. No, it's amazing to me how we succumb to the flesh when our perception isn't solidified in the spirit. So what do I mean by that? Because in the spirit, what can I see? What kind of body do I see in the spirit?
Spiritual body, heavenly body.
Okay, but do we know what it looks like yet?
No.
So what body then is my attention going to go to?
Fleshly.
The fleshly body, because that's the one I can see. So we know we need to be strengthened in the understanding of who we are in the spirit, so that the mind of the spirit begins to create an image of the spiritual body. Everybody agree with that? Because it's the spiritual body that God takes care of, not the fleshly body. And man, do we ever want God to take care of this fleshly body? Yes,
The
Ellen.
thing that you said on, what's today?
19.
Last Sunday.
When I was with
When
Gary?
we were, yes.
Okay.
And at the end of it, you said, the work that God has done in the elders, he is doing in us.
Correct.
And that was like, oh, well, that's great. That I actually have been thinking about. Like, of course, God, he's done it in the elders. We're following the elders. We're going to get there. It's kind of like you're going to climb a mountain. You need a guide that's already climbed that mountain many times.
So let's look at it. Can we look at that
Yeah.
just a little bit differently? God is doing it. He hasn't done it.
He's done it. You mean for you,
Well,
the elders?
let's just look at it in every elder. Is there one elder that walks among us who is perfect?
Oh, okay. So it is always a
It's a
doing.
doing.
Okay.
Some of us are just further ahead.
Right.
Even in the eldership, some are further ahead than other elders. But the important part that we need to understand in ourselves is that God is doing it.
He's doing it. You don't
And
always think that, though, when
no.
you're in the.
Right, because you're always comparing yourself to someone else. That's the part that God wants to, that's another part of the story that God wants to take you out of, is that comparing one to another. Because if you look at the book of Ephesians, he speaks directly to that cause. Hey, do not compare yourself to another. God has you exactly where he wants you. How many of us are beginning to understand that for ourselves? That I am, I need to be good with where God has me. And not to lust after, strive after, or try to get gain in God from my own thoughts. How many of us are beginning to understand that in a greater way?
I am.
Doesn't the Bible ask how many of you can add 1 inch of stature to your physical body? How many of us? Well, surgically you can, right? Can't they go in and put, if they can give you new knees and new hips, huh? Take out my tibia and put in a longer one, you know, and put in two while you're at it, because I don't want to walk with a limp. I mean, that's basically so in the context then of these things, we have been given everything that we need to be successful in the spirit. There's nothing we lack. We just let our mind go to the weakness. Isn't that what happened to Adam in the garden? God gave him everything he needed to be successful. Yet, and God gave him a commandment, which would have made him successful. Of that tree, of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. That's what God told him. That was the word of the Lord. That was the commandment of God to Adam. And before he said that to him, he said, hey, of every herb of the garden and of every tree, you can freely eat. But of this one tree, you cannot. So he gave him everything he needed to eat of to survive. And then he said, if you eat of this one tree, though, this one tree, if you eat of that tree, you're going to die. And in the lust of the flesh, what was he drawn to?
Tree.
The one tree. So the woman in Adam, whose name was Eve, but she was where?
In Adam.
She was in Adam. Satan knew the weakness of Adam. Does Satan know your weakness? Do you know that Satan knows your weakness? Yes, you do. You've been told it many times. You know that Satan knows your weakness. And now, this morning, I'm going to tell you, quit allowing Satan to use your weakness against yourself. You're stronger than Satan in the mind of the Spirit. Because in the mind of the Spirit, who are you? Son of God. So in our conversation then, and John was telling me that he and Tom talked one day this week, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he had to talk about Jesus for just a little bit, just to get our mind back in the things of God, right?
It worked, didn't it?
Listen, those conversations we should have every day. That's why, even if I'm on vacation, you can call the elder. I might not always. There's still a plenty of time in a day, even if you're 4 hours of four time zones apart, that we can converse. But I'm saying that only because we need to talk about Jesus every day. Every day, we need to get the word of God stirring up our minds, stirring up the loins of our power in the spirit, to where that word has its preeminence in every thought. Amen.
So in Adam, then, he fellowshipped the wrong thing. He should have fellowshipped with God in that conversation with, he said, don't eat of this tree.
Yes.
So eating of a tree would be talking to it.
Well, let's look at it this way.
Fellowshipping it.
Sure. If you're eating of the tree, you're fellowshipping with the thought of that tree. Who was in the tree?
Satan
was in the tree. Satan is another mind. That's not God's mind. So the mind of the flesh is Satan in the tree. Everybody understand that? Because it's a mind that's not of God. It's not the mind of Jesus. It's another mind. And when I fellowship with that other mind, It's going to, because of my weakness in the flesh, it's going to draw me out of the mind of the spirit and draw me into the mind of the flesh. So all of us this morning, we have a testimony that we were drawn into the mind of the flesh. How much greater would it be if we had a testimony that in spite of the mind of the flesh, the word of the Lord came to me and delivered me out of my enemies? That'd be awesome, wouldn't it? Yes, Sherry?
This is
in Speak up, please, honey.
Romans 8,
yeah.
14 or 15, it refers to it as a spirit of slavery.
Slavery.
And that's exactly how it feels to me. That's how it feels when I'm in it.
Yes, it's a spirit of bondage.
Hostage.
Yeah. Because you become hostage to condemnation. You become hostage to a law that was not from God. You become hostage to a tabernacle of flesh and not a tabernacle of the Spirit of Christ. Very much so. So I found it very interesting that, I mean, I thought it was awesome. I shouldn't use the word interesting. I thought it was awesome because it was a good learning for everyone if we learned from it, correct?
Yeah.
And I'm going to believe that we are learning from that. Big time. Any other thoughts about those things?
I just did a search this morning on fellowship, and it's pretty clear on what we should be talking about.
Yeah, right on.
I mean, even David, I was reading the Psalms of David, sit at the table of the Lord delivered me, I pray the Lord. I mean, we can't, there's nothing you can do of your own.
Mm-hmm.
You need the word of God.
You've got to have God.
And then I was thinking of the breaking of bread where Jesus sat at the table. And he says, take heed. Well, what was he really giving them?
Word of life. Word of God. Right?
What?
Word of life.
The kingdom.
He was giving them the kingdom.
He gave them the kingdom of God. That's what we should have been fellowshipping.
So it's been several years now since Pastor Dan was here and he gave us a work to do. Remember what that work was?
Build a storehouse.
Okay, build a storehouse. And the storehouse is filled up with what?
The sayings
of Jesus. So let me ask you then, how much were you able to draw out of your storehouse?
Well, it wasn't nothing. It was some.
There was some there, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Probably fell a little short.
Well, I just think we don't remember. At least me, I get pulled away, and so then I forget to keep filling my storehouse or keep... I lost the word. I'm tired.
Draw from the storehouse.
Yeah.
Yeah, you need that. You need the meat that has been put in the storehouse to sustain your life that's in the spirit. Because without the word of God, without what's in the storehouse, right? The meat of the word of God, without that, the spirit has no place to work.
Did you say something about distractions? Like before you went away, did you say don't let somebody talked about not letting the distractions take you? That was recently, I swear.
No, it was. It was last year.
Gary talked about it Wednesday. Yeah.
Okay.
Gary talked about it Wednesday, and he talked a little bit about it on Sunday.
Yeah,
Sunday.
Last Sunday.
Is the distraction, I find, like, they're still distracting me.
Sure.
And it's a, if I can remember to untangle myself from it, that's good. But I don't always.
Well, we don't want you to untangle yourself.
If I can remember to turn to the Lord.
There you go. That's how I want it. That's how we want to say it.
Yeah.
Right? Right? Because we don't, without Jesus, I can do nothing. Back to John 15 again, right? Jesus is the vine. We are the branches. If we don't have, if the branch is not hooked onto the vine, what is the branch?
Dead.
It's dead. And so the Lord gathers up those dead branches and burns them up.
Yeah.
That's what he does. So we want to stay connected to the vine. And if I'm connected to the vine, I'm drawing from the storehouse. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Because that's, if we look at photosynthesis, right? The process of the sun drawing out the minerals of the soil so that the plant may live, grow, and thrive, right? If I look at that process, which is an earthly thought, but if Jesus is saying he's the vine, then in the process of the word of God in us, that's exactly who we need in order to survive. We got to have Jesus, right? He's the rock of our foundation, according to the Bible. And so we need him to do all things in us. That's the power of it, and that's what we're being given. So in the sayings of Jesus, and then not too long ago, I gave you another work, and that is to look at what?
What Jesus came to do.
The work that Jesus came to do. All of that is our benefit. Or I don't want to use the word survival, but really I can. Because when we're separated, if I can't draw from my storehouse to stay connected, what's the purpose of my storehouse? What am I really, is it a vain work at that point?
Yeah.
It is. And that's not what it is. It's a spiritual work. And so I'm not saying all this morning to make anyone feel bad. I hope you understand that. I'm saying it because you have what you need. You can fellowship other elders besides me, right? You can call Gary. How about all the deacons? You know what I need to do is probably put together a list of deacons with their phone numbers and give it to all of you. Because the deacons are available just for that purpose. And they have much that they can feed you with. They really have much they can feed you with. And so, yeah. Yeah, God would never leave you. Amen.
Amen.
He would never, ever leave you. He just doesn't do it that way. But it sure seems like it, huh?
I remember years ago, actually going through the exercise of fellowship. I remember years ago, I think it was 12 years ago, Rick said, "You guys don't know how to fellowship."
Oh, yeah.
You remember he said that?
Yes, I do.
And that came to me when I was going through this study, because we don't. That's why he said, that's why there's no fruit, because we don't know how to fellowship.
What is the fruit of fellowship?
Wouldn't it be the fruit of the Spirit?
Which is?
Love, joy, peace, patience. Somebody else. Long-suffering, kindness, gentleness, self-control.
Yeah, Galatians chapter 5.
Oh.
Yeah. The second part of Galatians chapter 5. Not the first part. The first part is the fruit of the flesh. The second part is the fruit of the Spirit. Let's just go. Well, I'm already there. Let me just read it to you. If you be led of the Spirit, this is where we were just reading from, right? If you be led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh or the works of the law are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such the like. Of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. So if that's in your mindset, where's the kingdom of God?
Not in your mindset.
It's not there. I mean, God makes it pretty easy for us, doesn't he? But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. So in the fruit of the Spirit, where's the law?
There is no law.
It's fulfilled in Jesus Christ. So when Gary at the conference, Gary talked about the feasts of God, right? The seven feasts of God, which are a mystery. But who fulfilled the seven feasts?
Jesus did.
So if I'm in the mind of Christ, are all those feasts of God being celebrated in the word that I'm receiving from the Lord?
Yeah.
It's true. What did Jesus do at the Passover?
He had Passover.
Yeah, but what was the doing of it in Christ Jesus? Yeah, he gave his blood, right, to redeem us from our sin. So the death angel has no way to enter into our house. The blood of Jesus is on the doorpost of my heart so that the death angel cannot enter in to my house. How many of you had that thought this week? That's a good thought, isn't it? I mean, that's awesome. So how much time would it, let me say that differently. In the fellowship of the Word of God, we know that the first principle, foundationally, is what? What is it?
Repentance from dead works.
It's what?
Repentance from dead works.
It's what?
Repentance from dead works.
Imagine that.
Your turn.
And so, if the blood of Jesus Christ is on the doorpost of my heart, to where the death angel cannot enter into my house and take away the firstborn son. What son is that?
Jesus.
Oh.
I never thought of that until just now.
How can that happen? Who's the priest of my house?
Jesus.
It's Jesus. Because the firstborn son, God established as the priest of the house. Who's the first one raised from the dead?
Jesus.
Oh my goodness. So the principal term that we all know in every for every question that we ask is what?
Jesus.
It's Jesus.
The shedding of the blood shuts off our mind.
Oh yeah. Well, it should, right?
Right. But that's what I was saying. Is all those dead works, all that death that is within us, blood of Christ covers it, shuts it out.
Yeah, doesn't allow it to work in your mind. Yeah.
The scripture that popped up, I actually looked at it this morning, wrote it down, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin.
Is that 1 John?
1 John 1, 7.
Yeah.
That's, yeah.
Let me turn to that. Any more questions about Galatians 5? The separation between the new man and the old man? Right? Isn't the mind of the flesh the old man?
Mm-hmm.
And the mind of the spirit is the new man? Right? We've learned that over the years.
Mm-hmm.
So there's, I mean, if I look at all the things that have been taught in my life when it comes to the Word of God, man, there's much to draw from, isn't there? There is so much to draw from. The important part is that I don't draw it from knowledge. I'm walking in the Spirit because it's become my life, correct? Well, so what's become your life? Have you taken some time to let God provoke you in the Word that is now your life and let it begin to be the establishment of the Son in you? Excuse me. Let's go to 1 John. That's what I'm trying. What I'm doing this morning for you all is encouraging you that you have more word in you that is working than what you believe or what you think, right? Dan spoke on Sunday. A week ago today, Dan spoke a message on the House of Gods. Anybody see or hear that message?
Is that the one you sent?
No.
I sent the one on Wednesday.
Oh.
I couldn't open that up.
There's a password on the bottom.
Oh, there is?
On the.
Oh, okay.
There's a password on the bottom that you put
in. You have to write it down.
So Dan spoke a message last Sunday about really based about a message on how we perceive the house of God in us. And it's very, very good because he makes some very definitive statements in there about how we, because we, it's so easy for us to perceive out of the natural eye,
mm-hmm.
right? Because our spiritual eyes haven't been formed yet. But what I'm telling you this morning is that let the confidence or the faith of God begin to open up your spiritual eyes. That's why it's been given. How else could Abraham become a father of faith if he didn't allow the word of God that he received from the Father to begin to open up his spiritual eyes? How could any apostle or a prophet of God ever become what God said he was? Like Jeremiah, I knew you before you were in your father's womb, and I called you to be a prophet unto the nations. What had to be working in each one of those men and women for that to be established in them? I just gave you the answer.
Faith.
How does faith come?
By hearing
what? The word of God. You hear what I'm saying? You have heard the word of God. Now let God begin to help you to see what he is forming in you by faith. Because you are now a faithful child. You are a child of faith. And what does faith see?
Eternal.
The things hoped for.
Bad, John.
Eternity.
He sees eternal things. He doesn't see the temporal things. He sees the eternal things. So now Abraham is opening up your eyes. I didn't want to say it that way. That word of faith is opening up your eyes to see what God wants you to see, and not what you see yourself. Make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, 1 John. I'm going to start with verse 5.
First chapter.
First John 1. This then is the message which we have heard of him. Heard of who?
Jesus.
Because we want to always keep Jesus in our consciousness, don't we? And declare unto you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. And if I had just rehearsed that one verse, right?
We would have been fine for education.
If we say that we have fellowship with Jesus and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. We know from 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 that if we do not the truth, then what's happened? We'll go back and read that. I'm glad we're reading this first. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as Jesus is in the light, and have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. So if I walk in the light as he is in the light, then his blood cleanses me from all sin. In other words, every thought becomes acceptable to God. That's a new mindset. That if we walk in the light as he is in the light, then the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses every thought. Every thought is now acceptable before God. Because the thoughts that aren't acceptable, the blood of Jesus Christ took them out of the way. That's awesome, isn't it? If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Well, we now know that I'm a sinner. We confessed it this morning, right?
Yeah.
If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So if he showed us our sins and we were And he was faithful in doing so, in forgiving them, right? Do I have to still consider them, or am I now free from the sin?
Free from it.
Oh, man. How many of you believe that?
Mm-hmm.
We want it to be true, don't we? You know how it becomes true?
You walk in it, don't you?
You walk in it by faith, believing that what Jesus has just told you is the truth. Okay, now I'm going to go back to 2 Thessalonians, which we've been in a lot here lately, right? How many have really appreciated what Pastor Brian has done for us in this teaching? I hope so. I hope you're very, very overwhelmed with what Pastor Brian has given to us in the teaching of 2 Thessalonians. And you're beginning to gain some understanding in that man of sin being revealed and what Jesus Christ did for you at the cross. Because Jesus going to the cross made the way. He opened up the veil of his flesh so that you could see the man of sin. You can plainly see the man of sin, and you know it's not you. And that's so awesome. Okay, verse 10. Well, I'll start with 9. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. So what happens if you don't receive Jesus, who is the truth?
See,
you're not saved.
You perish.
It was what Sherry said, you stay in that slavery or that.
Oh, which worse than that, John? Listen to this. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie. I want you to think about something.
That's what Gary was talking about. Was it last Sunday when he said that the devil believes that he's right?
Oh, man. And he tries to convince you that he's right.
Mm-hmm.
That's what the devil does. So how much power do you want to give Satan? None. That's why you want to begin to believe who you really are when it comes to the word that you're receiving. Because the word that you're receiving is defining or showing or revealing to you who you are in the Father. That you are his son. You know what you need as a son? What's your need?
To know God's need? Is that what you're meaning?
No, but that's okay. What do you need as a son?
You need a father to teach you.
Okay, you need to know your father, right?
Yeah.
And then you need to know, then what? What do you need after that? You need to know your father, and then what?
You just have to keep eating his word.
Don't you need to know how much your father loves you?
Yeah, we forget that.
Oh, man.
I do forget that.
Mm-hmm.
The love that your father has for you, it's unbelievable. I know how much I love my children here in the flesh. And to think that the Father in heaven loves me so much more, I mean, it doesn't really even compare. Until I can begin to understand the love that God has for me as a son, I can't really love my children how I really should love them. I just guess at it. And one of the ways I do it is I give them everything. But you know, in giving them everything, you don't teach them a damn thing. Excuse my language. Just so you know. How did Jesus come? When Jesus came in the flesh, did he come riding a white horse that was had all this thunderous warrior-like stuff on it so that he could destroy the enemies of the world and take the world back for God? Is that how Jesus came?
No.
How did he come?
Child.
Came as a babe, wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. When he wasn't even born into his own house. Hear me. He was not born into his own house. There was purpose in that. And throughout his entire ministry, did he go home at night to lie in his own bed? No. Never had a bed that he could call his own. Because this world was not his home. And yet, we work pretty hard to make this world what?
Our comfortable home.
Our comfortable home. Our place of comfort. And yet, the Word of God comes to us. And the functioning power of that Word of God is to make us know that this world is not the world that God has designed for His Son. And that begins to shake our boots a little bit, doesn't it? I work so hard at creating this place of comfort for myself, only to find out that this place is not the world that God has designed for His Son, whom we all are. So what we're growing into is a mindset. And that mindset is telling us, hey, go to the world of Jesus. Enter into the world of Jesus. Enter into the world of Jesus. Oh, but God, that's a harsh world. No, it's a beautiful world. It's where the kingdom of God lives and moves and has its being. The old man cannot enter into that world. Only the new man can enter into that world. The man that sees by faith through the word of God sees himself sitting on the right hand of the Father, sitting on the throne that God gave to Jesus and Jesus gave to him to rule the kingdom that God has established for you in all authority and power. And isn't that what we desire? Because we're not talking about temporal things. We're talking about eternal things, right, John? That's how the Spirit sees eternally. Okay, I'm back to verse 10. Even in him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power, signs, lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. For this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but have pleasure in unrighteousness. But we are bound. Now listen to this. Okay, now I'm coming into being bound to Jesus, right? Mm-hmm. I'm not bound to the flesh anymore. I'm not the law, the purpose of the law, which bound me in trespasses and sin, because when the law came, sin revived and I died, right? That's, we know those scriptures very well. Paul uses them repeatedly in his epistles. But now I walk in the light as Jesus is in the light. I walk in the truth. My sin is being revealed and the blood of Jesus Christ is covering a multitude of sins so that sin is not my problem. Do you hear me? Sin is not my problem. Whose problem is it? It's the devil's problem. Jesus took my problems away. How many of you believe that this morning? But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord. So who are the beloved?
We are.
The sons of God. Ooh-wee. Because God has from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. How many of you believe in these things? This becomes our fellowship. Whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. So when I fellowship the word of God, what am I obtaining?
Glory.
Of who?
Jesus.
Oh my gosh. Isn't the prayer that Jesus prayed in the 17th chapter of the book of John was what? What was that prayer? John 17:24.
Wherever he is. That they be with me wherever I am.
That they behold me in all my glory. So if I'm fellowshipping the word of truth that I have received of him, what am I beholding?
The glory of God.
The glory of the Lord. You mean fellowship? Fellowshipping the word of truth shows me the glory of Jesus Christ? Isn't that the way God designed it? It's pretty awesome, isn't it?
That's why there's an excitement that builds up within us that speaking the word of God back and forth, it's like something comes alive in you. That's the glory of God that's being.
You know, Jesus' his last name is not Christ. Everybody understand that?
Yeah.
That's not his last name. What does it mean to be Christed?
Anointed.
Anointed. He's the anointed one, right? So when I begin to fellowship the word of God, whom is Jesus? The Christ, the anointed one. What happens to that anointing?
We partake in it.
Yeah, it gets quickened in us. So if I'm fellowshipping Jesus, now the anointed word of God is coming alive in my mind. And it's got something it needs to say to the Son. All right, I want to, I think I'm going to go back to 1 John again. And we'll probably close here this morning. Any thoughts that's coming alive in you?
That's deep.
Yeah.
Everything that you said is making me, helping me to re-remember or remember. Everything that God does is to bring us back to him out of love. I mean, even the revealing the man of sin, but all of it is all, everything is right there that we need because he loves us.
Everything.
Everything. Mm-hmm. I know that's been said, it was said last week, I think, but it's just proving out no matter where you read.
I love it. Yeah.
That's cool. What Dan said, something that stood out at the conference, because we were talking about fellowship, remember that? Mm-hmm. And he says, all I do just take one small thought out of you and me, and I stay in it, and I'm patient. And so the exercise of it's been awesome because it really just leads you to Jesus anyway.
There you go.
You know, no matter if it's forgiveness or love or fellowship, it's all leading to Jesus. Pretty cool, actually.
Well, the simplicity of it, it keeps you from striving after things that weren't given.
Yeah.
You stay in what has been given.
You said I couldn't complete a thought. Well, there's a reason for that.
Yeah, because the man of sin was his best friend.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what he said. That's what Dan said. I had to come to the understanding that the man of sin was my best friend. How many of you are beginning to understand the man of sin has been your best friend for a long time?
He's not a very good friend, though.
Nope, he's not.
He's my best friend.
Now listen to this. This is where I want to end this morning. These things have I written unto you concerning them that try to seduce you. But the anointing. Now this is. I'm in 1 John chapter 2, starting with verse 27. Chapter 2 and 27. But the anointing which you have received of him abides in you. And you need not that any man teach you. But as the same anointing teaches you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, you shall abide in him. Abide in who?
Christ. Jesus.
Yeah, and who is Jesus? I know Christ isn't his last name.
Nope.
He's the anointed one. So if I'm fellowshipping the word of Jesus, is the anointing being quickened in my mind?
Yes.
And is it not teaching me everything that Jesus wants me to hear? And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone that does righteousness is born of Jesus. Then he goes on to this verse. Now, I know in the Bible it breaks it up into chapters and verses, but in the written letter from John, it wasn't so. It was one letter. Behold, what manner of love. See, it's just going right into the same thought. The Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world doesn't, excuse me, therefore, the world knows us not because it knew him not. So the world, what?
Doesn't know God.
It doesn't know you. Because you're not in the flesh anymore. The world does not know you because you're not in the flesh anymore.
So does that mean then pretty soon, if we stay disciplined and walk in the Spirit, the world will leave us alone?
Oh, imagine that, Connie.
I mean, if I was just...
Because you'll have no communication with it.
Yeah. It'll go on to some things.
It goes on, the world will just go away. You'll put off your earthly tabernacle.
Yeah.
Rick testified that he left his earthly tabernacle long before he died. That's why Jesus could stand before Pilate and say, I'm not of this world. My mind, it's never been here. I have a world, but it's given to me of my Father, and it's not this one. That's the place we all need to come to. Well, then what about everybody we're responsible for? Believe me, they will all be cared for. How many of you got that word from Gary on Wednesday?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Huh?
Me last Sunday morning?
No, on Wednesday.
Wednesday night's message.
They will be cared for, folks. Believe me, better than you can care for them today.
Because we'll do it in spirit.
Oh, man. Hang on, man. God's got some great things to teach us, doesn't he? Beloved, now are we the sons of God. And it does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Will you see him in the eyes of the flesh, or shall you see him from the eyes of the new man that have been formed in you by the word of faith? How shall you see him? The new man. Amen. The new man shows you the real man who you have been from the beginning in Christ Jesus. How about that?
From the beginning?
Ah. When God called you. Just like he said it to Jeremiah, I knew you before you were in your mother's womb. The eyes of your faith, the eyes of your understanding reveal to you that man that you have always been in the eyes of the Father. Amen.
Amen.
All right. Any thoughts this morning?
Keep fellowship in the Word of God.
Keep fellowship in the Word of God. Keep believing God, right?
Precept on precept, line upon line.
What happens when we fellowship the Word of God?
Something increases in.
Do we have communion one with another?
Yeah.
Is that the Lord's Supper?
Yeah.
Don't you want to eat the Lord's Supper?
Mm-hmm. And the remembrance comes.
The remembrance.
Like he gave the bread. He said, break this bread, do this in remembrance.
Gave the wine.
Yeah.
For what reason?
Remembrance.
Of what?
His sacrifice.
His sacrifice.
That the blood of Jesus Christ has covered your sins. Do this in remembrance of me. And you can do it as often as you like. You don't have to wait for Sunday morning.
Well, we
or Wednesday night.
Well, we were talking. I think I said this to Sharon. I get this plate bowl at the conference. I'm like, what the world do I eat? Because there's so much there. You almost like you get into a lust of trying to grab pieces and parts of it, you know. But
how many thoughts did Dan say to stay in?
One. Yeah, well, I mean, that's how it felt, you know.
Well, I know the conference put a lot of seed in the ground, didn't it?
Yeah.
So that God can bring it up and make it grow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So back to where you started with the fellowship and you being on vacation, and you could tell, I kind of knew that without, like this morning, I actually, this is a praise to God because I prayed that God would really, that we would hear and see and really speak to us what we needed. Because I felt a little like gas tank was running real low. And it feels full now.
Good. I love that.
I think it just totally emphasizes that need
for fellowship.
Because I forgot all about Monday night. I was on Wednesday. I started on Thursday. Next thing I know, it's 8:30 and I've been asleep for 45 minutes already. I felt settled to sleep. So it's been a little sporadic.
Yeah, that's what happens. I was certainly glad I tuned in last Sunday.
Very happy. Yeah, that was good.
I was not able to make it Wednesday night, however.
Yeah, I was still in bed.
It's early.
Yeah, it was really early. But he turned it on, so of course I woke up.
Yeah, it is.
Wednesday is almost identical. Like, this is the platform that Gary's talking about.
So, yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, that was really good. Well, he's not at the table. Gary likes that. We sit at the table in the presence of enemies and don't try to discern without the word of God. Sit there. It's pretty good.
So it's good to have you guys back.
It's good to be back, must say. Okay. Any of you online have any thoughts or questions that you would like to share?
Dave, it's Terry.
Yeah, Terry, speak up for me, hon.
Okay. Gary said last Sunday he had a question and he asked, will you get eternal judgment if you don't understand the word when it comes to you? Can you tell me where to go read about that or explain that more to me?
I got to move on. Just a second, Terry. I did not hear that very well. Something about judgment?
He asked if you get eternal judgment, if you don't understand the word when it comes to you.
He said we weren't accountable. He didn't hold us accountable to that if we didn't understand it.
Right. He doesn't hold us accountable.
I think that's what she's asking.
That's what you're asking, Terry, that are we held accountable if we don't understand the word that comes to us?
Yeah, because then he went on to say that you can only see it in the kingdom or the
Correct.
spiritual realm.
That
so I
is
just
correct.
wanted to make sure that I understood that you were not accountable if you did not understand it yet.
Right. It's just like, we are compelled to think we need to save someone else because we understand something, correct?
Yeah.
How about trusting that God already has them in the place that he wants them and that he himself will bring the increase, whether it's to us or to them, and bring us into the place that he has established for us to occupy in the eternities of himself. That's where we have to learn to really trust and why we love God, because he has already predestined those things for each one of us. Very important for us to understand. So if I strive to get something that God has not brought me into yet, is that good or bad?
Bad.
Yeah.
It's bad, yeah. I'm striving to obtain something that has not yet been given. So we can, I'll use the word relax, but that's really not the best word to use. How about rest? We can rest in what we understand, knowing that God is going to bring us into more. That's the best way to describe it.
Yeah, that makes sense. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. Thanks for the question. I appreciate it.
That kind of goes along with what Dan talked about at the conference, the dream that he had of seeing Christ, seeing Jesus far off, and then dark waters in front of him, and saying that he saw the souls that were in that those waters and he wanted to go save them. But he was told by the angel not to do that because he will not be able to come back.
He'd die in it.
He'd die in it.
Yep.
So that's the same thing that works in us, is we have that understanding and we want to go out and want to save someone else. But
so let's look at it even another way, Tom. What did the Izaz do for you?
Oh, yeah.
Did it cause you to go in those dark waters?
Oh, yeah.
Was that good or bad?
Bad.
Oh, man, I'm telling you.
Trying to save myself.
Mm-hmm.
You couldn't do it, could you?
No.
We thought that the understanding of that was the Holy Ghost.
I know.
And no, it's not even close. It's just it's another illusion of the carnal mind.
Until God teaches you how to work it righteously.
Right.
It's unrighteous.
Yes.
So once God teaches you how to work it righteously, you might have some.
Well, it brings life then.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Well, that's tempting because Satan thinks he's right. And when that I first heard that, I'm like, how could he think he's right when he was with God? And I'm like, oh. Yeah.
Well,
okay.
1 Corinthians, it talks about that no flesh will glory.
Say that again, John.
No flesh will glory in his sight.
Yeah, no flesh.
No in fact, flesh.
How much flesh can enter into the kingdom of heaven?
None.
The Bible says flesh and blood cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. And every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God is true. It's right. And so if God said flesh and blood cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven, God is telling you there's not one thought of you that can enter into the kingdom of heaven. That's what he's saying. Let your mind take on the mind of Christ and you'll be accepted.
That's that warfare that we have, is we're trying to bring that into the kingdom.
Oh, yeah, man.
And it's not going to happen.
That's why I had last fall. What did I have to tell you in that room right there, John?
John's dead.
John's dead.
Yep.
Start believing it. I can say that to each and every one of you.
Thank God.
Start believing it.
Start believing you're dead. And get resurrected into Christ. Let Christ come forth in you. Let the new man come.
That's where the adultery comes from, and the striving and
all that stuff.
Idolatries, and I'll just keep listing. The list goes on and on, but all because we want to fix it ourselves.
Yep.
And we don't trust in the Lord to build the house of God from His word, His truth.
Yep.
That's why we need Dave. That's why we need you.
Yeah. Well, you need the Lord.
Right.
Right. Yeah, it's when you can see the elders as the sent ones of God. That's pretty awesome. Because now you're in a different, you're in a different world. It's in a different mindset. And that's not boasting about who we are. Believe me. That's not it at all. But it's putting it in a right perception when it comes to the Word of God. Amen.
Amen.
Hey, we did good this morning. All right. I appreciate so much the conversation today. And man, we have so much in the Lord, don't we? And it's amazing how when we just begin to fellowship, the things that we have received and the things that we're beginning to grow into, how it, man, what it does to the mind immediately is a real birthing in itself. It's awesome. All right. God bless you all. Love you all. Chris, I'll be looking forward to Jody and Gunnar coming back, and you guys keep staying in the Word of God and be a part of us all the time. Amen. Got to get a hold of Jeff, man. I tried to call him the other day and we didn't connect, but I'll get him called this week for sure. All right. God bless you all. Love you all. We'll see you on Wednesday night.